Thank you. to snow when I got here this morning, and the sun's out now, so we're on the right path here. Just some updates on things that are going on and some requests for input, and some of the things that I can share will show that we're listening to input and trying to get things put into place. The one thing I want to make very clear and continue to make clear is that we're under two different levels of authority. So the government of Ontario is making changes to COVID-19 restrictions. As of tomorrow, most of the masking mandate is gone. The Diocese of Huron, under the authority of our bishop, also rules over what we do or do not do, and our bishop has declared that the masking mandate will remain at least until Easter. So I know it's confusing, but that's the levels of authority in the church. So that's where we follow along. So mass will continue to be a thing here. Social distancing will continue to be in place until the 10th of April. We need to get the scaffolding out too, and that would make life a whole lot easier. Then we would have more flexibility, and that's going to happen by April the 10th as well. So all of this comes down to logistics and trying to figure things out, and of course, every week is different. This is the first time that we have come close to, we haven't completely reached, but we've come close to our capacity. But it also shows in the fact that, you know, we have places for single people and places for two people to sit, and that doesn't always balance out. What I want you to know is that it's not simple and straightforward. We scratch our heads every week going, what are we going to do next week? So, update on one other thing, the Common Cup, which has been under discussion, and the bishop has said that we can resume the Common Cup as we wish. And I've asked for input, and we have got input, and I can tell you it has run the gamut from, I don't think I'll ever receive from the chalice again, to bring it back last week. So as of right now. And everything in between. So it's typical of a church. There's different thoughts and opinions and ideas. So under our current configuration, we felt that it would be very difficult to bring back the cup at this point in time because we want to ensure there's a distance from where people receive the bread to where you go to receive the chalice, simply because we don't want anyone to feel obligated to go, because it's an entirely personal decision. It always has been. So as soon as the scaffolding comes down and the choir then will be moving back up to this area, we will move to a standing station to receive the bread in the center aisle, and the chalice will be available at the Murray altar. So that'll be another couple of weeks, but it is on the way. So please be patient with us. We are working our way through things. We still don't yet have our Holy Week and Easter schedule finalized, simply because there's still too many permutations and computations to make a plan. It will be pretty straightforward, I think, and outline possibilities in an email on Friday if you got that. If you're talking to people that you know are part of this parish and have said, I'm not ready to go back yet because of the pandemic and I'll know when I'm ready, ask them if they're feeling ready, because we don't know how many people to plan for at Easter, whether we're planning for 60 or 180 or more. So whatever feedback we can get will help us to plan. I want to touch on one other thing that was a lot of fun, and this is part of where the church is now. Unfortunately, church is close. And churches have a lot of history. We have one new parishioner who moved not so long ago from a church that just closed, Trinity in Lambeth. And we had one or two things that we were looking at, because a lot of times the liturgical furniture doesn't get used again. So they're trying to share with others. And we went down on Friday and had a look. And I found what I thought was an absolute gem. I was surprised that nobody else had asked for it. You want to talk about history? The original altar from Trinity Lambeth in 1862, so more than a decade before they started to build this church, this was the altar in Lambeth, is a small table, probably about this high. It will become our credence table on the side of our altar. It will be wonderful, I think, for us as we go forward to say we're part of that history. And we can celebrate that history and remember that this is the roots of our church, that every small town had a church a long time ago. And we'll do our best to continue those traditions. So thank you to Trinity Lambeth for being so gracious as things arrive. This arrived as well. We have a couple of them, but one not nearly in its nice a shape and didn't have it stand with it as well. So as things arrive, we'll let you know. The world remains a difficult place. Much to think about. Let's just take a moment of silent prayer before we begin to worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires
are known, and from you your secrets are hidden. Bless the lost of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Strengthen us to follow Christ, our pattern and our hope, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to listen to our first reading.
A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Oh,
Who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I think that it's a hallmark of Lent to deal with some difficult passages from the Bible, and I think that this morning's offering is one of those occasions. Now, you may or may not agree with me. You may be looking at this and thinking, this is just confusing. Or you may be saying to yourself, I've heard this story a million times from Sunday school teachers and other preachers. I'm pretty sure I know what it's about. Mercy, obviously. And how God gets angry and Jesus saves us. Okay, there might be some of those elements here in this story, but I think that this text is hinting at something much deeper and richer and more complex than that. And I think that though the world is seemingly full of suffering and struggle right now, this is exactly where we need to be at this place in Lent. See, this passage seems like it consists of two parts. When you take it as such, it's easy to see how people land with the interpretation that they do. Jesus is being questioned about a couple of tragedies of the day, much in the same way that I'm sure all of us have been watching what's been going on in the Ukraine. The Galileans who are killed by Pilate, their blood is mixed with sacrifices. It's pretty horrific if you actually stop and think about it. The people who have been crushed by this tower. So you can see why this is on everyone's mind and why they're asking Jesus these questions. And they're the same kind of questions we ask when we experience suffering or loss. Why did this happen? does God or Pilate or the government or somebody hate me so much that I am suffering like this? And honestly, I don't know that I have a good answer for that. There are the platitudes that people will give you. I've heard enough of them myself in the last few months. They don't really help. And ultimately, they don't really mean anything to the person, because in all those grand cosmic plans don't matter when it's my mom taken away, or my family that's hurt, or my country that's being bombed. So how does Jesus answer? He gives them this parable. That's important. It's very important, because it's really easy to see these two as not connected. But they are intricately linked. And that's the hard part, because what does that mean? Often the interpretation is that God is the angry landowner and Jesus is the gentle gardener who's set on creating a fruitful tree. Our inadequacies are met with love and forgiveness and mercy, and there's a careful coddling of our beings, and that's the end of the story. That's it, right? Isn't it? But I don't think that we can separate the first part from the second, and I don't think that the two parts mean what that interpretation is presenting. See, Jesus is asked about suffering, and in his reply he says, do you think that these people were worse sinners than others? He doesn't say that they were amazing people who never ever sinned and therefore it is completely unfair. He doesn't say that suffering is God's punishment and that all of us should deserve it somehow and we should bear up under it. Instead, he paints this picture. He presents them with a fig tree with broken and unproductive branches that's been bare for 3 years, that perhaps has dead pieces, maybe some kind of rot on it. Maybe it's not a pleasant tree. It's definitely not a fruitful one. But it's one that's still alive. One that still has potential. And there is a gardener that's going to see if he can make it thrive. Now, I think that there are two really significant parts to this parable that we get wrong with the interpretation that I just gave you. Firstly, I don't think the landowner is angry Old Testament God and the gardener is gentle New Testament Jesus. I don't think that this is an argument about law versus grace. I think, actually, that the landowner is us. The landowner wants a fruitful tree no matter how little he's cared for it. He wants easy and predictable growth. He wants success with very little trying. And when he doesn't get what he wants the tree cut down. Fair is fair, right? This tree is not productive, so it shouldn't have access to things like water or food or good soil or shelter, medical care, adequate housing. Does that sound familiar? That attitude is not God. That's us. That's totally us. The gardener, that's God. That's Jesus. And that's the second important part to this parable that we get wrong. This isn't the tale of God covering our sins with gentle grace. It's not the story of enabling bad behaviors or sweeping penitence under the rug. This is Lent, after all, and it is supposed to be a time that reminds us of the hard work it takes to be better. And that's just it. Whether we call the tree society or our individual souls, it is tied to suffering. And it is tied to sinfulness. Now, I'm not going to go down some Calvinistic rabbit hole where everyone's terrible and we should all hate ourselves. But we do need to understand that we all do have darkness in our hearts. We all give in to petty selfishness and greed, violence, hatred, bigotry, judgment that's deep in there. We are beloved sinners, no better than the rest. And when our tree is not fruitful, it's not that we need to cut it down, but we can't just say that it's fine either. We must carefully trim and prune and care for the parts that are still alive. It can still bear something wonderful. Our suffering is not punishment from sin, at least not in the way that we think. Go back to the example I was using right at the very beginning. The Ukrainians fleeing from the Russians aren't any better or worse than any of us. They are just normal people caught in a terrible situation. God does not delight, nor does he cause suffering for some retributive purpose, but they are suffering from sin. They're suffering from the sin of some tyrannical aspirations. They're suffering from the sin of a global conquest for domination, and we all suffer for society's sins, war, famine, plague. Some of us much more than others. But what this parable should say to us is that that doesn't always have to happen. That we can, with the help of good gardeners, excise those hardened and diseased parts of society. That we can, with good caretaking, clear out the dead wood and make those unproductive parts have new growth. That we can, with God's help, understand the purpose of the cross. That suffering and injustice is met with compassion and solidarity, with vulnerability and new life, with loving sacrifice and the emptying of oneself for others. This is the promise that we are being given. This is the promise that we are marching towards in our Lenten journey, my dear friends in Christ. And this is absolutely the promise that we can live into. Amen. Now I will invite you to stand as you are able. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered in Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now I'll invite you into a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
As we thirst for God in our lives, let us pray to him now. Father, we thirst for your meaning and your guidance in all our work and worship and praise. Fill us so full with your Spirit that those we meet are drawn to meet you. Living Spirit of God, quench our thirst. Father, in all the corruption and double standards which damage and unnerve our world, we pray for all those suffering in Ukraine. We thirst for your Spirit of truth, purity, and goodness. Living Spirit of God, Father, we thirst for your Spirit of love, which notices needs, considers no job beneath itself, and delights in each person's gifts. Living Spirit of God, Father, we thirst for your Spirit of compassion, which binds up our wounds, supports the nervous and frail, and visits the imprisoned and afraid. And we pray for those in our community who are ill. Don Lomansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, John Fryer, Chris Huseman, and Art Sinclair. Living Spirit of God, Father, we thirst for your Spirit of life, as we call to mind those who have come to the point of earthly death. May they and we in our turn find eternal refreshment and peace with you. Living Spirit of God, Father, may we thank you with our lives as well as our lips for the constant outpouring of your Spirit to us throughout our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, God, for thee, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now I will invite you to safely share the peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
another. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, this death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
In one body, for we all share in the one bread.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.